Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This continued season of Epiphany takes an unusual turn today from Matthew chapter 5. It's all part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that began with the Beatitudes. Here, rather than revealing who Jesus is, which is what Epiphany is all about, Jesus turns to those who are listening to him. In Matthew chapter 5, it begins by saying that Jesus is teaching his disciples. The crowds are around, but he's speaking directly to his disciples, and he's teaching them. So again, rather than revealing more about who Jesus is, he turns his attention to his disciples and who they are because of him. That's how this is working here in Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Salt and light. Interesting choices for Jesus when talking about his disciples. First, let's address the issue of salt. In our day and age, salt has really sort of changed its meaning. Right now, in our time, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have to watch your salt intake because of blood pressure issues or other things of that nature? We have to be careful about how much salt we take in because too much is not good for us. But not enough is also not good for us. Salt really in our time has a much different meaning than it did for those in Jesus' time. Jesus says to his disciples, you are the ones who salt the earth. Not that they are salt that comes from the earth, but they are the ones who salt the earth. And they're the ones who provide flavor. We'll put it that way. They're the ones who provide flavor to the world. Salt in Jesus' time was not as everyday or compartmentalized or put into little tiny packets to be placed on your restaurant table. Salt was a commodity that could be highly valued. It wasn't always highly valued, but good salt was hard to come by. Good salt was important. It did a number of things. First, yes, it flavored food. That was even used back then to flavor food. They would add salt to different things to bring out different flavors in the food. But salt was also used to preserve things. Even up until like the 1800s, salt was still being used to sort of pack and preserve. We use it when we want to preserve like beef jerky and things like that. It's highly salted. It's soaked in a brine and that kind of thing. Salt has a way of purifying and keeping things from going bad. If you use salt, a lot of times things don't go bad as quickly. Salt was also used when somebody was, and this is unusual because we sort of changed the meaning of this, but when somebody had a wound, salt was sometimes used to protect the wound. Now we say we're rubbing salt in the wound because it hurts, right? Well, yeah, it hurts, but it still protects. I don't know how many people use these anymore. There used to be styptic pens that when you cut yourself shaving, you would use the little pen of salt to keep it from bleeding. It was something that drew stuff out and kept things purified. So salt has all sorts of different meanings and different ways that it can be used. Salt could also be used in a detrimental way when invading armies wanted to ruin the crops of an army that, or a place that they were invading, they would, if they had the ability, would either flood the land with salt water or not sprinkle, but cast salt out into the land, and it would dry up crops because it would soak up all of the moisture, and then the crops couldn't grow, and then the land was ruined. There's not a lot of times when that's used, but it was something that could be done. Salt was important. It had a lot of different functions, and Jesus turns to his disciples and says, you are that which gives salt to the world. You're that which casts salt onto the world. You're the ones who bring the world flavor. You're the ones who preserve. You're the ones who go about and heal. You're the salt of the earth. Now we use that phrase to mean somebody who is of, you know, the salt of the earth kind of people. Well, it's not really what Jesus is talking about, but okay. Jesus is looking at his disciples and saying, you are going to go out into the world and you're going to enhance the world. You're going to bring the world something that it so desperately needs. That's the gospel. They don't know that yet. They don't know that that's what they're going to be doing. But Jesus is telling them a little bit ahead of time. You're going to go out there and you're going to bring that flavor, a much needed preservative, a healing salt to the world that needs it. But he says something can happen, though. What happens when saltiness is gone? When salt loses the reason for its existence? When it is no longer salty, what is it? It's nothing. It's worthless. It becomes something that can be trampled on. That's the only thing it's good for. It's not even good for destroying an enemy's crops. It's worthless. So how does that happen? How does salt lose its saltiness? Well, it doesn't really in our chemical sense. Salt is always salt. But how does it lose its ability to flavor? How does it lose its ability to preserve? In Jesus' terms, when his disciples are no longer salty, they're not good for anything. When they're no longer preserving, healing, when they're no longer flavoring, when salt has blended in, when salt has lost its distinction, when salt gets mixed in with everything else, it becomes worthless. So picture this. You have a handful of sand from the beach, and you take some salt, and you throw it into the sand, and you mix it all up. How are you going to find the salt again? Yes, there are chemical ways we can do it, and experiments and things like that. I'm just thinking in general. You're going to have a hard time finding that salt again. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about when his disciples, if his disciples, become one with the world, when they adopt the ways of the people around them, when they become indistinct from the world around them, then they lose their purpose. They lose their meaning. They lose their oomph. They lose their flavor. That was one of the things that God warned the Israelites about when they moved into the different lands, that they shouldn't adopt the cultures and the methods and the worship of the people that they were supposed to be taking over. If they blended in, that was a bad thing. And Jesus talking about his disciples as the salt of the earth, if you blend in and become indistinct, that's a bad thing. That goes for us as well. when we blend in and become just like everybody else around us, we become indistinct. We lose our saltiness. We lose our ability to flavor the world around us. That happens all the time. Christians trying to be just good neighbors. Now, yes, we're supposed to be good neighbors, but when that's all that we are, why even be Christian? If all you are supposed to do is blend in with the world around you and be a really nice guy, well, then just do that. If you're just going to adopt everything that the world around you has and lose any type of distinction, that's salt that has lost its saltiness. And it happens all the time. I would imagine that even each one of us at some point has lost our saltiness. We've blended in. Maybe we wanted to so that nobody would know that we were Christian and make fun of us, or nobody would know that we did these different things on Sundays because, well, then we're the weird ones. Well, maybe we don't want people to know what we really do believe about things so that, well, we're not treated differently. Nobody likes being persecuted, so let's not say anything and just blend in. Jesus says, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet, and that's what happens. He also asks the question, how is its saltiness restored? See, here's one way that Jesus is leading his disciples. He's leading his disciples to look in one particular direction. They don't know it yet. They haven't gotten there yet because he hasn't gotten there yet. So for us who are reading this so many years later, how can your saltiness be restored? Now, I'm not saying big tent revival, although sometimes that works. I imagine that would be weird here in Eugene. It would kind of stick out a little bit, which I suppose, as salt, you probably should stick out a little bit. Well, maybe for our 100th anniversary, right? We'll put up a big tent out in the parking lot. Saltiness restored here. How do we regain our saltiness, our distinction, our flavor? Well, it's through Jesus, right? Our saltiness is not our own, right? We're not naturally, well, I don't know, to use the word salty in different ways, some of us are naturally salty, cranky. That's a different way to use salty. But our Christian saltiness doesn't come from us. Just like a Christian whose light is shining in the world, the light doesn't come from them. It comes from Jesus. So our saltiness, our flavoring, our preserving, the work that God does through us comes from him, not from us. So God is the one who restores that saltiness. He's the one who provides the flavor. He's the one who does the preserving. He works through each of us. No matter where we are or what stage of life, what vocation we may hold, he works through each of us to bring that flavor to the world. So how does that work here? It works the same way as it does with everything here. In the gathered body of Christ, he restores saltiness. He shakes out that salt on you through his word. Through the body and blood of Christ, he restores that saltiness from the inside. Through the fellowship of building one another up, encouraging one another, studying his word together, that Holy Spirit restores that saltiness. Sometimes it seems like it only lasts barely a week. We get really restored here on Sunday, and we go out of here feeling really good and ready to take on the world, and by Sunday afternoon, we're feeling a little fading. Maybe we're feeling a little run down. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't seem to last very long. So here's our, what do we do about that? What do you do when it doesn't seem to last more than an afternoon or more than the morning? What do you do when you shake the salt into the food that you're eating and, well, it's not quite enough? Well, add a little more. Add a little more. Not too much, be careful. Watch the blood pressure. So if you're fading, during the week you're fading and you're feeling not quite flavorful, there are ways to do that during the week, you know. How many of you have one of these books at home? I really hope everybody raises their hand. But if you don't, we've got some here. You can take one with you. Right? This is a salt shaker. Sitting on your table, hopefully not dusty. If you're feeling less than flavorful during the week, pick it up. Read something. Go to the Psalms. Psalms are good. That's why they call it the Psalter. But it's not. That's bad. That was a really bad pun. Sorry. I apologize. It's what they call low-hanging fruit. You just take that one and go. Come to Bible study. Yeah, men, I know we don't have one for the guys right now, but we will. We will. I don't know if the women would let you in, though. You'd have to get past Betty. Betty's tough, man. She guards that door. Come to Bible study. Really, sing in the choir. Come to choir practice. Ring the bells. There are plenty of things you can do during the week to restore that flavor, to keep that flavor lasting longer. You can study the Bible on your own. You can study the Bible with friends. You can sing hymns. How many of you have a hymnal at home? Not as many as have one of these at home, I'm sure. But you can get one. They don't just sell them to the church and say you can't take them like shopping carts out of Fred Meyer parking lot. You get to a certain place, you can't go any further. Hymnals don't work that way. If you want to take one home and sing, go ahead. There's all sorts of ways, is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to just end here on Sunday. If you're feeling less than flavorful, know that God is there. And he's provided all sorts of ways to keep that flavor, that saltiness going. He's there for you. So you, salt of the earth, flavor that world around you. Preserve, heal, share the gospel, and let the salt do its work. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen.